Well, just this first one of 2023, and it's been an interesting week. You know, financial markets have largely been relatively optimistic, and that was reinforced by some of the data at the end of the week. So right at the end of last week, we had non-farm payrolls came out for the month of December. And these are a bit of a split in some ways, because when we're looking at average hourly earnings, and this is what has helped to keep markets fairly buoyant, they're showing that wages growth is past its peak in the US. In fact, average hourly earnings came in lower than expected in December. They're up 0.3% month on month. And as a result of that, the annual change came down to 4.6% year on year from 4.8%. You know, the market had been thinking that annual wages growth would still be above 5%. The only problem with this is that other aspects of the labour market in the data that came out on Friday last week still show a lot of strength in the US. We had non-farm payrolls, which rose more than expected. They're up 223,000. The market was looking for 200,000 there. And the unemployment rate continues to go lower. So we had a revision downwards to the previous month's unemployment rate from 3.7 to 3.6%. And while the market thought we'd get a 3.7% unemployment rate for the month of December, it came down further to 3.5. So at the very best, you'd have to say that the Fed, and we've had some comments from the Fed over this past week, is that, you know, they really still can't deviate from their, you know, we've still got some work to do. We have to get rates up a bit further, and we have to keep these rates probably higher for longer. But, you know, obviously that's not the way the market's acting in the very, very near term, with this just slight hint that you've got some pressure coming out of wages. Having said that, most of the leading indicators we've seen out of the US now suggest that there's weaker growth ahead. And you know, there's always been expectation that the US faces recession this year. And if anything, you know, that hardens with some of the numbers that we saw coming out through the course of last week. We had the ISM, Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, for the month of December. And that came down to 48.5 from 49. So it's sitting there below the 50 expansion contraction marker and suggests that that part of the economy is looking quite weak. And interestingly, right at the end of the week, we had the services sector ISM PMI came out. This one had been holding up in the mid-50s over the October-November, and it was at 56.5. The market thought it might get back to 55. It went below 50 to 49.6, and this is by far the biggest part of the US economy. So we've got some signs in the leading economic indicators, you know, that things are just starting to weaken back a bit. This week in the US, we won't get an awful lot more data, except that we've got an important reading coming up on Thursday, and that's the December CPI for the United States. CPI is past its peak, and so this is another reason why markets are getting a little bit optimistic in this first week of 2023, but the expectation is that it'll come down further. So we'll have the December CPI. Looks as if it's going to come in around about 0.1% month on month, same as the month before. And if that's what occurs, we'll have the annual rate of CPI inflation coming down to 6.5 from 7.1. The core CPI, not quite as good as that. So core CPI looks as if it'll come in around about 0.3%. That would bring the annual rate down to 5.7% from 6. And, you know, on the face of it, this looks promising because we're down, you know, we're definitely past the peak in the inflation rate in the US, it seems. You know, we've been up in the 9s going back a few months ago, and we've come all the way back to 6.5. The problem is it's going to get very, very sticky from here on inwards. Particularly when we get around March, April, we've got a couple of very, very low month-on-month readings from this time last year. So, you know, there could be a complete stalling when we get around there. Obviously, that's not going to matter to the markets who have a much shorter-term focus than that in the very near term. But the other part of this is that with the tightness in the labour market, and this is the message that comes through consistently from the Federal Reserve, it's almost impossible to see the inflation rate getting much below about 4% for the US late this year. And if you're really lucky, down to 3% the year after. That's above their 2% target over time. And that's where story keeps coming through. You know, we've got more work to do. These rates are going to have to stay higher for longer. And it will be the repetition of that message that will temper the optimism from some of the data points, I suspect, over the course of the next few weeks. The next Fed meeting comes up, of course, right at the end of this month. Moving to China, and in the case of China, we're getting some stabilisation in their PMIs. So last week it was the private sector cakes in PMIs, the cakes in manufacturing PMI for December, and the cakes in services sector PMI. Remembering that this is the first month when China was really opening up, so a little bit of optimism that that opening up, even though it means a lot more infections in China, at least the Chinese economy is getting back more onto a normal footing. The cakes in manufacturing PMI still came down to 49 from 49.4, but the services sector PMI just lifted a little to 48 from 46.7. Still very, very soft reading, so there's not going to be a lot of strength running through the Chinese economy for the time being, but just looking a little bit better. Now, this week in China, we'll get their CPI and producer price index coming out. Unlike everywhere else in the rest of the world, CPI and PPI now is quite low in China because of the lockdowns there. So the December CPI is expected to actually fall by 0.1% month on month. That would still actually lift the annual inflation rate, but only to 1.8% from 1.6%. And producer prices year on year, they were probably at their weakest going back to November when they were down 1.3% year on year. They're expected to come back to maybe minus 0.1%. On Friday, we'll get some export and import data for the month of December out of China. And these may start to show the very first signs of a little bit of improvement. They're still going to have negative signs on the front of them on the year-on-year basis, but perhaps not quite as deeply negative as the numbers we got going back to November when exports from China were down 8.7% and imports were down 10.6%. So looking for just perhaps a little bit of a turn in some of that China data. And there's been some of that influence feeding through to Australia. We haven't had any data releases. Obviously we're into our peak holiday season, so everyone's away at the moment, and that includes the statistical agencies, the Reserve Bank, Treasury, the lot. They're all on the beach, and so the data really only starts to come through again this week. We start today with November home building approvals. Those still look pretty soft, so the market's expecting those to be down 1% after being down 6% the month before. Still not looking for much strength to run through there. On Thursday, we'll get the monthly CPI coming out. We've got two series of CPIs now these days. We get the monthly CPI, and then we get the key one, which is the quarterly CPI. That won't be out till the last Wednesday of this month. But the monthly CPI has been sort of, it came back a bit going back to November. It was up 6.8% year on year. In December, it's expected to lift a little bit to 7%. But at this stage, the talk of inflation peaking in Australia around the 8% mark, maybe we might get in a little bit less than that. We'll know more about that when we get to the quarterly CPI at the end of the month. Just a little bit of pressure coming out of the inflation story here. It's not gone completely because there's many other factors which will be starting to feed inflation through the course of this year. There's still work for the Reserve Bank to do, much as there is for most other central banks as we go through the early months of this year. But there's a chance that the December CPI may not be too bad. Now, November retail sales come out. We've already had the preliminary reading of this. It was minus 0.2%. Don't expect to see any change on that. It should still be minus 0.2% when that number comes out. We won't get the December retail sales for another week or so. And the December retail sales will be the interesting one because it does appear as if there's been some resurgence in spending through the month of December, but that's on the horizon. We also get trade data coming through. Trade balance probably coming back a little bit. It's still very, very healthy. So going back to October, the trade balance was $12.217 billion surplus. It may not be quite as strong as that in November, so looking for it to be probably around about 10.9. But going ahead, this may get even stronger again because we're just hearing that China's relaxing its position on Australian coal imports. That was one of the areas which had been very, very severely affected. The truth of it is that China's still been trading pretty strongly with Australia on many, many other items other than the ones it's got some key restrictions on. And where those key restrictions are, Australia's had no problem finding other markets. So the trade story is still very, very strong as far as Australia's concerned, and expect to see that reflected in those figures. On the weaker side, on Friday, we'll get November home loans coming out. Home loans continue to come back. The housing market continues to be very, very soft. We've had some, over the holiday period, we've had some house price data, which shows that the house price falls that we had in Australia that really started to set in from the middle of the year. But over the whole year, they were the worst annual falls in house prices we've seen in 40 years. It's certainly sort of pulling back in terms of the housing sector. And that's reflected in home loans where the rise in mortgage rates, of course, is compromising people's ability. And in any case, they've got incentive to sit back now, the buyers, rather than sort of rush in. So home loans were down by 2.9% month on month, going back to the month of October. They were probably down at least another 2% for the month of November. So, again, some softish numbers in there. In amongst all this, does it mean that the Reserve Bank won't do anything in February? Probably not. Their next meeting comes up in February. They're probably still obliged to lift interest rates further, and certainly whenever they've spoken in public, they've talked about more work to be done to get on top of the inflation rate. Moving to Europe, and had a fair bit of data coming out, and rather like what we've seen with other countries, the inflation's, although high, is not quite as high as it has been. So we had the December CPI and core CPI came out, and part of this has been undulating changes in weather. You had one brief, very cold week running through Europe in the earlier part of December, but the late part of December running into January has been freakishly warm. And when I say freakishly warm, in some places the temperature over the New Year weekend was 8 to 10 degrees centigrade warmer than it normally is at that time of year. Broke records by a country mile in terms of warmth, more like spring temperatures. So that's taking some of the pressure out of the energy side with the price pressures that were running through there. We've had the preliminary December CPI for the euro area came out, and rather than rising 0.8% month on month, the market expected, it actually fell 0.3% month on month. So the net result was that brought the annual inflation rate down to 9.2% from 10.1. 9.2 is still a very, very high inflation rate. And the core CPI, rather different from that, because you take out those energy prices. And the core CPI, rather than falling 0.1% as the market expected, was up 0.6%. So the core CPI actually went up to 5.2 from 5. So that's probably the more the measure of where there's still some work there for the ECB to do. We saw it in producer prices as well. We had November producer prices came out, and they fell by 0.9% month on month. That still left the year on year very, very high. It came in at 27.1% year on year. That's down from 30.5, and it's down from the near 40s we had earlier on, but still obviously very, very high producer price inflation running through. We also had some manufacturing services sector PMIs came out, and they're languishing. Europe still is on the edge of recession, even though the warmer weather is certainly helping through the winter. So the manufacturing PMI lifted a little to 47.8 from 47.1, but the services sector PMI, again, lifted a little to 49.8 from 48.5, but is still basically quite soft. This week, not a lot. You know, we've got things like Centix investor confidence coming out. That was minus 21, probably will improve a little bit to minus 18. We've got the unemployment rate for the month of November running probably still at a very, very low, 6.5%, the lowest unemployment rate in at least 20 years. We've got some industrial production trade data coming out, but not a lot coming out of Europe either. In fact, you know, much of the focus, I suspect, this week, you know, given the way the market reacted at the end of the week to the average hourly earnings data in the US, unless we get some pretty tough talk coming through from central bankers from some source or other, the focus will be towards the US CPI coming out at the end of the week, our own monthly CPI later in the week as well. And the time being, those are running on the optimistic side. But I still am very, very wary of all of these because as far as the central banks are concerned, still work to be done.